Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our lesson from the book of Galatians chapter 3, beginning at the 21st verse. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You recognize the words, you know them. Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It's a lot like an old proverb, which has a very similar message. The old proverb goes like this: hunger is the best cook. Hunger is the best cook. Now think about that just for a moment, but don't think too hard, because it's not hard to understand what's being said there. You know what's being said there. You know that if you spend the whole afternoon watching old reruns on television, lying on the sofa, snacking away on things you probably shouldn't eat, and then somebody calls you up and says, "Hey, let's go out for dinner. I know this great steak place or this great seafood place." What do you say? "I'm not really into steak. I'm not really into seafood. I don't feel like eating much anything." On the other hand, if you've been out working in your garden or hiking or exercising and you haven't had much to eat, you don't need steak. You don't need seafood. You can have the plainest of food, and how does it taste? It tastes great. It tastes excellent. Hunger is the best cook. Now, you know that the good Lord knows that too. He knows that hunger is the best cook. That's why the good Lord makes you hunger. He talked about it in the book of Deuteronomy, Old Testament, chapter 8. Moses is speaking here, and Moses said, "The Lord humbled you, and he let you hunger, and he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone." Of course, you can finish it. "But man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." The Lord let you hunger, and then he fed you. And it wasn't about food or a full stomach. There was a greater purpose in mind here. There was a faith lesson that the Lord was teaching you, Moses says, and that is so that you would come to depend on what he says, so that you would defer to what he says, so that you would consult with what he says, so that you would be guided by and directed by what the Lord says, so that, Proverbs chapter 3, you would trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and then he will make straight your paths. Except you wouldn't have gone down that path. You wouldn't have gone to the good Lord unless you were forced to it. You wouldn't go down that path naturally unless you were forced to it by your hunger. Years back, a friend of mine got a Christian book, one of the many that have been printed over time, a Christian book from the Christian bookstore, and the title of the book was not the Holy Bible. The title was Absolute Surrender. And you can guess what the theme of the book was. God says A, B, and C, and you need to absolutely surrender to what God says, which is a worthy thought. But my friend, after reading the book, came to the conclusion that, you know, you don't ever surrender to anything unless you got no other choice. Unless you have no other choice, nowhere else to turn, above all to the good Lord. You don't have any place else to turn. And so our Lord Jesus would say, and a beautiful invitation, you know the words again too, Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But a human being is not going to do that. Not us fallen human beings anyway. A human being is not going to do that unless they have no other choice. You're not going to do that. Most people don't go with the Lord Jesus. Most people don't hunger for Jesus or thirst for him. They don't really want to know him that much. And that's disheartening for us as we go out among our friends or family workers or our family members or co-workers. It's disheartening for us. And we look for explanations. We say, you know, I wonder, maybe they're just so filled up with the snacks of this life, all the things that they're snacking on, that they don't know the real food when they see it. They're not hungry for the real food when they see it. Now, that might be true to some degree, but I think we have to go deeper than that, and that's to understand as we read our Bible that it teaches us and it tells us, and God says to us, that the human heart was just simply not born hungry for God. Not the true God. Not since the fall. Now, we can modify that a little bit and make it true. You can say, I was born wanting to be God. That would be true. You can see that in our little school we have downstairs, the little ones. You watch the little ones play with each other, and you realize over time that one thing you don't have to teach a child is to be selfish. There's no lesson in preschool about that. This is selfishness today. We're going to talk about how to do that. It's where? Where is it? It's already there. It's already in the human heart. You and I were born wanting to be God, but not so much to know God, to be hungry for the good Lord. Which is too bad, because our Lord Jesus said, this is eternal life. Gospel of John. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You know, it sounds there like the good Lord is going to have to make you hungry. And he's going to have to do it over and over again. He's going to have to make you hungry. But the kind of hunger we're talking about here is, once again, on a deeper level. It's not just about not having food or wandering in the wilderness or something like that. It's not that sort of thing. It's more like Luke chapter 23. And there we read, one of the criminals who are hanging on the cross by Jesus railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us too." But the other one rebuked him, and he said, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, today," and again you know the words, "you will be with me in paradise." The Lord made you hunger. The Lord made you hunger. And then he fed you. What brought that man to the Lord Jesus? What brought him there? What made him hunger for Jesus? What made him ask to be remembered by Jesus? Very simply, it was the law of God. The law of God, which cannot be changed or altered or excused. The law of God, which, like the high beams on your car, showed that this man, inside and out, was justly condemned. It made him see that he had no standing before God, no hope now, no hope forever, except for the man who was being crucified next to him. and our Lord Jesus. And once again, he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said, truly, I say to you today, you'll be with me in paradise. You know, there's only one hammer that can drive that nail into the human heart. Only one hammer that can let you see or make you see that you're not what you think you are, that you cannot be like God, that you cannot be thankful that you're not like other people, that you would be condemned justly except for one thing. Only one thing can make that happen in the human heart, and that is the holy law of God. But when it speaks to your heart, that's when the nail gets pulled out and the wound gets washed and oil and wine are poured in and the wound gets bandaged and you hear the truth. You sing the truth that is greater than the truth of your sin. Again, you know the words, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. The Lord caused you to hunger, and then he fed you. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. You may want to remember or think back to what we learn in confirmation class or in new member class. If you came on board as an adult, you learned something about God's holy law. And you learned that God gave his law for three reasons. The first reason is to keep society in check so it can function at least on a marginal level. But that's not what we're talking about today. The second reason God gave his law is to show us what attitudes honor God and what attitudes bless other people, the kind of actions that are a blessing to them. But again, that only comes after what we're talking about today. The main reason God gives his holy law is simply to shine the high beam into your heart, shine all the way through you, hold up a mirror in front of your face and scan you with an x-ray and do all three of them day after day to show you what you really look like so that you can see what the good Lord sees, to free you from the illusion that you are the greatest thing since sliced bread and to give you no place else to run than the Lord Jesus himself. To bring home the promise of God that Acts chapter 4, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It must happen. It will happen. Because the Lord God himself has promised it. Where has he promised it? Well, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me, so that's true. But above all other things, it's promised to us, promised to you, promised to me, in the shed blood of Jesus, in the perfect life of Jesus. Those are the only things that are ever going to make sinners righteous before Almighty God and give them a place in paradise. That place where you can look back and you can see that it was true. It was true that blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.